Yes, thank you. I'm very pleased to have an opportunity to speak briefly. My background, and this will be reflected in my comments, is as a climate scientist, one who studied disaster risk reduction, global environmental change, those kind of issues. And I've been doing this for 40 plus years. I won't go into details on that one. Let me just say that I think, as my colleague Zachary noted, there is the Intergovernmental Platform on Biodiversity, Intergovernmental Platform on Biodiversity Ecosystem Services, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. These organizations are very important in that they produce very, well, quite frankly, detailed. I think Vladimir was referring to them when he referred to the 500-page documents. They're actually usually closer to 1,000 in the IPCC case. But I think there is, to build on that, we need to have a process of science assessment that will inform public policy development in a way that is able to integrate across some of the issues. So climate change, ecosystems, disaster risk reduction, sustainable development goals on a more regular basis, on a shorter term, so that they're not intended to cover every aspect but can summarize and respond to relatively new issues that may have come across this. It's also important that they be very multidisciplinary in a sense, that they bring in those socioeconomic, political issues from a scientific point of view. I would emphasize that from the beginning of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and I was actually at the meeting in Geneva that established it in 1988, it was agreed that it would be policy relevant but not policy prescriptive. It's not the role of science to say to the politicians, you should do this. It's the role of scientists to inform the policymakers that here are some the scientific basis, on basis on that, this gives us the options of doing this, this, and this, and here's the relative outcomes. And in the end, the political decision is appropriately made by policy, by the political community. I think one of the things, though, we also have to be aware of is that it is not always possible decades in advance, well, it's actually not usually possible decades in advance, to anticipate what is going to be that next global problem. I spoke yesterday in my presentation about back in 1957, a group of scientists through the International Council for Science organized the International Geophysical Year and started systematic measurements of carbon dioxide, systematic measurements of ozone. Only years later did one realize the importance and significance of having that database continuing so that we could say when the ozone hole appeared in 1985-ish, that that didn't happen every 5 years. We actually had 30 years of data to say that it did not do that. So there was something different happening. So I think it's very important that, and I like to note the important comment of His Majesty the King Abdullah, who talked about the infrastructure to support science, including young men and women, and support science in a way that it has the capacity to continually explore a large range of issues, so there will be the scientific basis for looking back and say, well, how has that changed, to support science around the world in the developing countries as well as developed countries, in order that we can actually say, this is the basis for the science decisions that policymakers will have to make 10, 15, 20 years from now. And I don't know what those will be. So that means a broad range of scientific support. I just comment that we also, as scientists, need to worry and, let's say, better understand the role of the political system, the political timescale, the motivators, not try and change it, but let's say understand it so when we're delivering policy advice, we can do that. We need to better connect generally with the population of our countries and internationally. And I think we need to continue to, let's say, do the kind of science that will allow us to say when the polar bear is on that ice cap, what is actually going to happen? Is that a one-shot event or is this a continuity? Are we at some tipping point in time? And that's very important for us to have that continuing basis of science. And so with the International Council for Science, working with various partners, including UNESCO and the Science and Technology and Society Forum. We have this program, Future Earth Research for Global Sustainability, and a program on integrated research on disaster risk. And it's very clear that although these are separate projects, we need to bring them, at least make sure that they are in dialogue. We want to make sure we deliver in a comprehensive, integrated way across the social, political dimensions, as well as the science issues, the environmental issues, that basis of science on which policymakers can make their judgments. And we need to summarize it and convey it in words that can be understood. So science to inform policy development, and just in my final comment, I'll note that although Peter said we're not supposed to talk about policy for science, I think we have to have a policy for science that enables the science to develop the policy to be in place. And so the two issues are not disconnected.
Of course
not. But for purposes of these discussions, we'll try and make that separation. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.